Chapter 10. Elisha Ringel. Flocks of migrating geese flew high above the wagon as it rumbled south through the Malopolska hills toward Krakow. The half-rotted wood of the wagon creaked and groaned under the weight of its load. The laborious struggles to climb the hills were followed by hair-raising descents. The driver, a bad-tempered peasant who was half-drunk most of the time, whipped his scrawny horses mercilessly. The passengers were an assorted lot. Facing Shloima were three Jewish musicians who had been summoned from Krakow all the way to Kalisz to play at the wedding of a nobleman's daughter. Beside him sat an elderly Polish couple who mumbled to each other constantly and ignored everyone else. Sitting in the back by himself, with his feet dangling over the edge, was a tiny young man with dark hair, dark eyes, and an olive complexion. He looked at Shloima speculatively every once in a while, but it was not until the second day that he spoke to him. "You look very familiar," he said. "Do I know you from somewhere? Do you live around here?" "No, I'm afraid I don't," Shloima replied. "I was just visiting a relative in Wilkowice." "Well, maybe I saw you somewhere else? My name is Elisha Ringel. What's yours?"
"Shloima Strasberg."
"Any relation to Rev Mendel Strasberg?"
"I'm his son."
Recognition flashed in Elisha Ringel's eyes.
"Of course," he exclaimed. "I saw you in Krakow nearly 3 years ago. No wonder I didn't recognize you. You looked a little different then, all dressed up as a bishop. You really humiliated that priest. The one with the long name I always forget. No one spoke of anything else for months."
"Well, I would rather not speak of it, if you don't mind," said Shloima. "That is a period in my life I would much rather forget." Elisha looked crestfallen.
"There were many rumors at the time," he said. "Couldn't you at least tell me which are true?"
"Perhaps another time," said Shloima, with a tone of finality that belied his words. "Why don't you tell me something about yourself? From where are you?"
"I'm just a wanderer. I come from nowhere."
"You must come from somewhere."
"I've lived here and there. Nothing permanent."
"Don't you have any family?"
"No."
"What do you do?"
"I do nothing. I just travel from place to place and look around. I'm 28 years old and I haven't a zloty to my name. Now you know everything about me."
"But from what do you live?"
"Some odd jobs. I don't need much."
"Where are you headed?"
"Wherever this wagon will take me."
"It's taking you to Krakow."
"Then that's where I'm headed."
"Are you going to stay there?"
"Maybe a little bit."
"And then?"
"I'll catch a wagon going somewhere else."
"Where?"
"I don't know yet."
"I see."
"Do you really see?"
asked Elisha.
"No, I don't suppose I do," replied Shloima.
Elisha shrugged.
"It doesn't matter anyway. Seems neither of us wants to talk much about himself. Why don't you come sit beside me on the tailboard and we can talk about something else?"
They made an odd pair sitting together, feet dangling, the one tall, fair and reserved, the other short, dark and effervescent. But once they warmed up to each other, they spent hours talking about anything and everything. Elisha was impressed by Shloima's vast knowledge, Shloima by Elisha's sharp wit. The next day brought a steady downpour. All day they traveled through the driving rain, trying to protect themselves as best they could, but getting soaked to the skin nonetheless. They made hardly any progress through the mud-choked road. By nightfall, they were still in the open country, nowhere near any of the roadside inns. They camped alongside the road, overturning the wagon and going to sleep under it. Morning brought a break in the weather, and they were able to continue their journey. Shloima and Elisha stared bleary-eyed at the soggy landscape. Elisha had developed a hacking cough. They were both hungry and exhausted. They traveled in a sort of dazed silence. It was a very subdued group that stopped at a roadside inn that night. They started out very early the next day. It was already Thursday, and they would have to hurry if they hoped to reach Krakow by nightfall of the following day. Otherwise, they would have to spend Shabbos on the road. That afternoon, they stopped to rest on the crest of a high hill with a spectacular view. In the distance, they could make out the Vistula River. They would reach it by mid-morning tomorrow and follow it east into Krakow.
"Poland is quite a beautiful country, wouldn't you say?" remarked Alicia.
"Yes, it is a good country. Unfortunately, it is not good for Jews."
"What are you talking about? Look at you," Shlema said as he jabbed his finger in every direction. "Poznan, Breslau, Lodz, Warsaw, Krakow, the Pulichev region, the Ukraine, Kiev. Wherever you go in the Kingdom of Poland, there are thriving Jewish communities. Things have been good for the Jewish people in Poland. The king and the nobles have always protected us. They will continue to protect us."
"How could you say that?" said Alicia. "After what happened in Krakow years ago."
"That was just an isolated incident. Things like that will happen here and there occasionally, but not as a rule. After all, it is in their own interest to protect us. They need us. We are the financiers and the tradespeople. Who else would perform these services for them? It is beneath the nobility and even the country squires to do it themselves, and the common Polish people are serfs."
"Yes, this is quite true, but there are pressures building in Poland. How long do you think they'll be able to retain their feudal system? How long do you think a handful of powerful families can concentrate all the wealth of Poland in their own hands and keep millions of people in poverty?"
"They've done it for centuries," said Shlema.
"You listen to me, Shlema Strasberg. I've been all over the Kingdom of Poland and the Grand Duchy of Lithuania. There is big trouble brewing. The Catholic Church of Poland is going to clash with the Orthodox Church of the East. Who do you think will get caught in the middle? Not the Jews? The Cossacks are probably going to revolt in the Ukraine. Who do you think will be the first to feel their sword? Not the Jews? Believe me, if Poland is thrown into turmoil, the Jews will be the first to suffer."
The strong emotion with which Alicia spoke took Shlema by surprise. Alicia's face had become flushed. His breath came in shallow gasps. He was seized by a fit of coughing that brought tears to his eyes. For the first time, Shlema noticed Alicia's sallow complexion, the brown blotches on his face, the sharp bones clearly outlined against the tightly stretched skin.
"Alicia, my friend," Shlema said, "since you are not going anywhere in particular and don't have attachments and responsibilities to anyone, why don't you come with me to Pulichev for a while?"
"Why?" asked Alicia suspiciously.
"Well, obviously your health isn't very good. It doesn't look like you've been taking care of yourself. Come with me to Pulichev. You can continue your wanderings when you've regained your strength. In the meantime, we'll be company for each other."
Alicia thought for a moment and said, "Why not? I've never been to Pulichev. I suppose I might find it interesting."
"I have to warn you, though. Pulichev is not Krakow."
"But it's not Wilkowitz either, is it?"
Shlema laughed.
"No, it isn't. I think you'll like it."
"I'm sure I will. But first we go to Krakow. I like Krakow."
"I suppose I do too.
How long do you need to stay in Krakow?"
"Just a day or two, maybe three."
"Really? What do you have to do in Krakow?"
Shlema shrugged. He planned to deliver his father's letter to Rav Yomtev Heller, the illustrious rabbi of Krakow. Meeting one of the Torah giants of the generation would be a memorable experience, and he looked forward to it with great anticipation. He also intended to visit Chaim Tomashov, who had helped his father in his time of need.
"I want to visit some people," he said vaguely. He was not prepared to discuss his personal plans with Alicia.
They spent Thursday night in a small inn operated by a Jewish family. The food was kosher, and for the first time that week, they were able to eat a hot meal. Shlema toyed with his food while in his mind he was back in Pulichev with his parents. A rasping sound disturbed Shlema's thoughts. He looked up and saw Alicia doubled over and coughing uncontrollably. His food lay on the table untouched. His face was a sickly color. Shlema grabbed his friend by the shoulders.
"Alicia," he said softly, "let me help you to your room. I think you should lie down for a while. I'll tell them to save your food. You can eat later when you feel better."
But Alicia didn't feel better later. His temperature rose sharply, and he fell into a fitful, feverish sleep. Shlema did not sleep in a bed that night. He dozed in a chair at Alicia's bedside. Whenever Alicia groaned, Shlomo was instantly awake. Several times through the night, he held Elisha's head and dribbled a little water through his parched lips. Elisha seemed to improve a bit just as the sun stretched its tentative fingers over the horizon, and Shlomo dozed off. It seemed as if he had been asleep for only a few minutes when the innkeeper woke him. "Young man," he whispered to Shlomo so as not to waken Elisha, "it's 7 o'clock. Your wagon will be leaving in about an hour. You still have to pray and eat." "My friend here is very sick," Shlomo replied. "Do you have any medicines?" "My wife knows something about herbs," said the innkeeper. "You go on to Krakow. We'll take care of him here. Don't worry about him. He'll be fine." "No," came Elisha's hoarse whisper from the bed. He had propped himself up on an elbow and was looking about for his clothing. "I'm not staying here. I'm coming to Krakow." "But you're too sick to travel," protested Shlomo. "I'll tell you what. I'll stay here with you, and when you get better, we'll both go to Krakow." "No," insisted Elisha as he struggled to his feet and began to get dressed. "You are going to Krakow, Shlomo Strasburg, and I am coming with you."